Dear Lord, I thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord, and those that you have brought here today, both in person and on our Zoom. And I just pray that you'll be with the service today, Lord, be with pastor as he comes to speak and give us the message he's prepared, that you'll just help your words to speak. Help us to hear those words. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
I should have ended before I did. So, all right. How is everybody? Good crowd here today. This is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Next Sunday, we're having a wonderful time. We're going to be talking about thankfulness, and so I encourage you to be here or be on Zoom. And we're getting ready for the winter time. We're going to be, Tony's be sharing you about our big tree giveaway, Christmas tree giveaway in a couple weeks on a Saturday. You need all hands on deck as we do that for the community again. And some other things that are coming up too. So, and for you that are on Zoom, we welcome you today. We had a little difficulty before the service because the camera has a little mic, a speaker in it, and it kept repeating everything they sang. So you had to figure out some way to shut it off. So it got to be kind of haunting. You know, you ever had voices in your head? We had voices through there. So, but we got it figured out. Going to talk today about relational guardrails. And it's a couple weeks ago I talked about out of Romans chapter 14 about basically is loving folks unconditionally, not being judgmental and stuff. But it brings up the question many times is that in our relationships, is it okay to put up guardrails and to put up barriers to make sure that we're associating with the right people? We do this for our kids, and we need to do it as adults. And does that kind of compromise the fact of loving somebody? And I'm going to get into that in a second. And it really doesn't, because we're going to talk about what the guardrails are. We're going to talk about the fact of what discernment is and what wisdom is. And those are the three things we're going to talk about. First of all, I'll give you the definition of guardrails, and it'll be on the screen there. A system designed to keep a vehicle from straying into dangerous areas. When they began to put up the highway system back in the late 50s, they realized there were some areas that were more dangerous than other areas, ravines and things like that, so they created these ideas of guardrails. Back in the old days, they were made out of wood, and then they began to make them out of aluminum stuff. But the idea of a guardrail is to keep you from going into any further danger. You're bound to wreck your car, but you're not bound to wreck your life or lose your life by hitting the guardrails. Now, in modern days, we have become very spoiled, especially if you drive a newer vehicle. Back in July, my lease was up, and I went ahead and I turned it in, and I bought a used pickup truck. Because I just felt kind of manly. I wanted to be able to have a flannel shirt, a pickup truck. I need to get a dog, you know, or something like that. But my previous vehicle, which was a lease, it had all the bells and whistles. It had the backup camera so you could see what's behind you. If you were backing up, it made a noise if something's in the way. When you're driving, if you are going to switch lanes and there's a car there, it alerts you to get back into your lane. And had all these safety mechanisms to make sure you were driving appropriately. And I got to tell you, when I bought the truck, it was hard going back without those things. I've nearly run over people. I've nearly backed into vehicles. I've done all those kind of things because I got so used to having, you know, the little flasher on the mirrors telling me there's a car next to me or whatever. I was so used to having a backup camera. I was so used to if I was backing up and something was there, it would beep like crazy. It doesn't do anything right now. So if I was you and I'm driving, stay away because, I remember I backed out of my driveway a couple weeks ago, and my neighbor, I guess, backed out the same time. I didn't see them back out, and as I'm backing out, I look in my mirror, and there they are going like this to me, and I'm like, I'm sorry, you know, so, and I drove off really fast, so like that was going to save anything. But that's what a guardrail is, and we're going to talk about guardrails when it comes to our relationships. And the idea of a guardrail when you're driving is not to hit it, obviously. It's to keep you away from dangerous areas and to keep you with that margin between you in risky situations when driving. That's what a guardrail does. It reminds you that there is danger in this area, too. If you're driving down the road, you come to church here, and you go past some of the little rivers and creeks that are here, you may see the guardrails. That is to remind you that there is danger more so there than any other place. There's no shoulder of the road or whatever, so you got to remind what a guardrail is. And we're going to adapt that when it comes to our own spiritual life and our own relationships. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here. This is out of the book of Proverbs. Solomon, who is considered one of the wisest men ever, said this: "The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out." Very wise words. Discerning people acquire knowledge, and the ears of the wise seek it out. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, said this: And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of his praise. And Paul was talking about there that his desire is that we grow in understanding and discernment and wisdom as we grow as we go along. Now, discernment, I'm going to put a definition up there, is this. It's not about being judgmental, but it's about having good judgment. That's what discernment is. It's not about me judging somebody else. It's not about being judgmental. It's not about casting opinions on somebody else. It's about me having good judgment about myself. And I kind of further clarified like this. Being judgmental is me forming an opinion about you. That's what judgmental is. Me forming an opinion about you. Maybe from what I observe, maybe from what I know or whatever, that's what being judgmental is. Having good judgment is about creating a better direction for me. And so when you think about this idea of discernment and stuff, it's really more about us taking care of ourselves, us making sure that we're in a situation, relationships, situations that basically are the best for us. And by not want to be associating with other people, in a sense, is not really judging them. It's a self-protective. It's a guardrail for ourselves. We do this with our kids all the time. You know, kids bring their friends over, especially when they become teenagers. We build an opinion, and we try not to make it about that person, but we're doing mostly about trying to protect our child, make sure they're using good judgment. We would say it many times when they're going out with their friends when they were teenagers. Make sure you make good decisions. And, of course, through time, our teenage kids would always turn to us and say, well, you're just judging my friends. You don't like my friends. It's not about that. It's about you learning how to create boundaries and margin and guardrails in your life so that you are not harming yourself. We want you to be self-protected. We want you to be discerning so that you don't make bad decisions. I've heard it so many times. Kids nowadays, and a big thing is social media, and kids that are on these social media sites and stuff, and then they get to a certain age and begin to apply for colleges. And you try to tell these kids, you understand, they are going to look at your social media pages to get an idea about you. And by the way, we all do it anyway. We lurk on everybody's pages. We want to see what they're up to and stuff. But I've seen it in her stories how that a college basically passed over a student because there were things on their social media page that just would not conform to the standards of that university, college, or whatever. Even employers do this. They want to know your social media because they get a better idea of the scope of who you are. And so we would tell our kids and our grandkids, be very careful, build some guardrail, build some boundaries, barriers about what you share and what you put out there. Because we want you to be protected. It's not about casting judgment on somebody else. It's about making better judgment so we get the life that we prefer. And that's what discernment is. Let me give you another thing here. This is where I want to hit home for a few minutes here. We naturally adapt to those we allow to be our influencers. Okay, I'm going to kind of go into a freaky area here, okay? Anybody ever hear to say that when you connect with somebody and you say, oh, we must be on the same wavelengths? Anybody know that slinging or whatever? And I've always wondered, and Sarah knows this because she got me a book one time, where all these different, I call the idioms or whatever, come from. And it was a whole book. It was in my bathroom, so I won't go any farther than that. But it was a book that kind of, and I've always been curious where we get this idea, for these certain idioms. And so, I mean, I shared the ones before about, I'm trying to think, the one about, I've just lost my mind here now. But there, oh, the thumb. Okay, that's right. The rule of thumb. The rule of thumb comes back in the olden days where husbands were allowed to discipline their wives, but the idea was you couldn't use a stick any more bigger than the circumference of your thumb. That was the rule of thumb. Aren't you glad? By the way, if that were to be today, I did that, she'd be coming after me with a baseball bat, okay? So, and she probably should. But those are where those come from. So I thought about this, the whole thing about we're on the same wavelength. We're on the same brainwave. And it actually is scientific. Do you ever see somebody begin to associate with somebody and begin to actually be able to mimic their personality, finish their sentences? Married couples do it all the time. And we think that's just because we've been environmentally put together. But I've been reading articles, and there's a lot of them. from credible places that says that basically is our brain waves begin to adjust to match the brain waves of those that we are close to. And we begin to think alike. And by the way, some of this comes out to this too. That's why when you get involved with groups, hostile groups, you ever notice even on social media, there are people that all of a sudden just seem to connect with those that are always slamming other people and downing other people and arguing with people. It's because they build this idea, and it's not just a cultural thing or environmental, is their wavelengths begin to conform to each other. And when I was reading some of these articles, and a lot of stuff I don't fully understand, but it made me think that's where that comes from. Science has proven the fact that people that stay connected and that are influenced together, are close friends, partners in life or whatever, they begin to take on the characteristics in their brain waves. And that's why many couples that have grown together, been married a long time, have the same type of thoughts, can finish each other's sentences, can understand where you're going, can empathize with you, and that's part of it, because scientifically, our body does adapt to the environment that we're in. And when I thought about that, I thought about this. When I was growing up, and my mother used to say, I really don't want you to hang around with Bobby. I'm just throwing out a name here, okay? And I think she understood that I began to, and whoever was the more, I don't want to say weaker personality, or the one that was more adaptable, the one that was yearning more. If you're a middle child, you're always looking for attention. She knew that I was beginning to adapt to the patterns of those other people. And she wasn't judging them. When my friends would come over, my mother was always great with them and stuff. But she would always, you know, say, remember one thing, you don't have to be a follower. You don't have to do what they're doing. If you get in a situation to where you know it's not the best for you, call me and I will come get you. It's all about you, Greg, making sure you're making wise decisions, discerning between what's good and what's not good, what's healthy and not healthy. But I understand now is that many times we, in relationships, begin to follow patterns. And then I begin to think, you know, people always say science and theology don't mix. You ever hear people say, you know, when they're talking about God stuff and someone says, well, there's God and then there's science. Well, let me make it very, very clear. God and science are not distant from each other. If you study the Bible, you will find that many scientific understandings were cleared up in the Bible a long time ago. Back in the great olden days when they thought that the earth was flat, the Bible talks about, in Jeremiah and also in Isaiah, it talks about the circle of the earth. The Bible has it right in there that the earth was round long before scientists determined that. The Bible talks about the flows of the ocean. It talks about weather patterns long before meteorologists who get it right 38% of the time could tell you where things are coming from. And so to me, science and theology can associate together. And when I thought about this, I thought about the scientific thing that we adapt to the people. We take on, naturally adapt to those that are influencers. And science has said, even through the brain waves, I wonder what the Bible said about this. And here's what one of the wisest men said in the book of Proverbs, said this. Walk with the wise, in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. And I thought to myself, that's exactly what we tell our kids and stuff, is that we need to understand something. We naturally adapt to those that we hang around. Now, once again, some of you may say, well, you know, you got to love all the people. You can't disassociate. I'm not saying disassociate. I'm not saying, say, I can no longer be your friend. What I am saying is that we need to make sure that even as adults, we are placing ourselves in an environment that are healthy for us, especially our spiritual condition and what we want for preferred future. In Proverbs, he said this, walk with the wise and become wise. It's as simple as this. When you hang around with people that stimulate the best out of you, when you hang around with people that want the best for you, when you hang around with people that are also seeking godly wisdom, that are also seeking success, and success, when I say that, they want things to be good in their life. They want their families to be healthy. They want their relationships to be healthy. They want their work to be healthy. When you hang around people that basically talk well about other people, that are positive and that are loving and look out for you, you will become just like that. Then it says here, if you associate with fools, and of course we don't want to go around calling anybody a fool, Solomon did that, you get in trouble. And I've learned this. I've seen people gravitate to certain groups. I've seen people that used to be the most loving people, you know, friends of mine, even in infield, that gravitated to groups, and they take on the characteristics of that group, and they become very angry people. Simply this. If you hang around with a gossip who's always talking about other people, and without correcting or getting away from the situation, you will, sooner or later, become a gossip. If you hang around with negative people who are always simply critical and stuff, you will become a person that is critical. If you hang around with people that have unresolved issues of hate or whatever, you will adapt to that type of situation. Is it 100%? No. But I know this, is that we, either by science or by theology, from what Solomon said, we become wise when we walk with the wise, and we become foolish when we walk with those that are foolish, and we get into trouble. Now, when you're telling your kids this, of course, what they're going to say, especially teenagers, you're just judging my friends. Once again, no. If you want to bring your friends here so it's in a better environment, that's fine. What I'm saying to you is that you need to create guardrails. You need to look for the warning signals. You need that little light mirror to go off when you're getting out of your lane so that you stay safe and you prosper in your life. Because many of our greatest regrets that we have in life usually are associated with people. Now, when I was a teenager, I got in some trouble a few times. And it was so funny because one time, I share these stories with my kids and my family and my wife, that things I did as a teenager. And she thought I made up, because I make up a lot of story. My grandkids are convinced I was in the CIA. I mean, they still are, okay? And I make up stories for the grandkids and stuff. I make up songs for them and stuff. But I would tell stories about things that happened to me when I was a teenager. And about the time that I got in trouble, well, the few times with the police and stuff, how the police knew me by first name, you know, when they pulled me over and stuff. And this is like 15, 16, 17 years old. And then one day I found a long-lost friend of mine from high school, my best friend from high school, Jim Weaver, who actually just passed away probably about 7 or 8 years ago of a heart attack. And we got on this FaceTime thing, and we were talking. And he's going off. Remember when this happened? Remember when you did this? Remember when and Don finally goes, I thought you made up all that stuff. I didn't know you really did all that stuff. And there were things I got in trouble for, and mainly because of the crowd I ran with. It wasn't in my nature to want to get in trouble, but I began to, and through association, begin to go down the wrong path. And I learned that as a teenager, and I learned that today, that simply this, is that as adults, we may think we're immune to that, but as adults, and sometimes if you watch social media, adults aren't acting like adults. They're acting like children. And they get this association, and they get this pack mentality, and they get this cultural situation, and they end up becoming something they never thought they would be. Because through scientific study and through theology, when we walk with certain people, we become just like them. And that's why it's not a judgmental thing against somebody else. It's simply good judgment, making good judgment. Let me give you a couple of things here I want to share, okay? I give you three suggestions here, and then I'm going to give you the words of Jesus himself. Three suggestions for relational guardrails. And these are things, and these are not comprehensive, you can add more to them, which we should, but I wrote these down. When we notice our core group moving in a direction that we know is not the direction we want to go, guardrail it. When you're with people that begin to do things that you know are not within your core values and not where you want your final destination, build some guardrails around that. When you catch yourself pretending to fit in, and I'm going back to my teenage days, I try to fit in with whoever would accept me, guardrail it. And when you feel pressure to compromise, guardrail it. And I say that for this reason, is that we need to daily examine what's going on in our lives so that we know we're the right example for our kids and grandkids, but we also know that we're trying to get to a preferred future and end well. End well. Here's what Jesus said here. This is important. Jesus says this, but wisdom is proved right by all her children. Now, when I first read that, what does that mean? Wisdom is an abstract thing, or is it an actual thing? Is it, you know, sometimes wisdom can be a reference to God and that there. But this is kind of a weird statement when he says, but wisdom is proved by her children. And what that simply means is this, is the product of life's choices can be seen in the result. In fact, I put it this way as a meaning, in this way, I put it this way. We know we are wise by the outcome. Children are the offspring of things that we do, obviously. And metaphorically, what Jesus is saying here is wisdom is proved out in what's produced by it. And here's the thing I think he's trying to get to. A lot of our wisdom comes from past experience, so we can learn from it. He says, basically, as you see the product and the outcome of choices going through life, and you see how they were good or bad, and the outcome is good or bad, we know we're wise by not repeating the same thing, hoping for a different result. And as we go through life, sometimes it's hard to learn those things there, but wisdom has results. And those outcomes, we want them to be positive. So in relationships, it comes down to this. I hope I'm never considered a judgmental person. I don't think I am. But I also try to use good judgment in the environments I'm in. And I've been in some bad environments. I've had family actually tell me over the years, that's not a good environment. That's not a good relationship with you. And I've seen people that go through tremendous amount of suffering and have a lot of regrets because of the fact of the environments they were in. And once again, it's not talking about shunning anybody. It's not talking about closing off. It's still, you're in association. It means where you place yourself that you know is unhealthy for you. And you also have to be honest about your own characteristics. There are people that I know that have, by nature, addictive personalities. And there are those that may not. I have an addictive personality, in a sense. So to me, is I know that, you know, that can be harmful if I'm allowed to be in environments that actually support that. And sometimes you get into a bad situation. So relational guardrails are us saying, listen, as I walk through life, I'm going to place around me safety mechanisms that tell me this is not where I should be. This is not where I should be hanging, because I want my life to succeed and be something God would be pleased with. And that's what the guardrails is. Let me give you the walk away. It says this, our relationships determine the direction and quality of our lives. And then I shared a verse out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Paul says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Not as unwise, as wise. You walk with the wise, you'll be wise. You walk with the foolish, you will get in trouble. It's a very easy concept. And we do take on the characteristics of those that we associate with. I share this now because we get into the holiday season. And there's a lot, of course, this year's a little different. There isn't the big Christmas parties going on, those kind of things there. But just always place yourself under your own examination. In fact, we're told to do that in the book of Ephesians and also 1 Corinthians, to examine yourselves so that you know what your life is doing. And discerning is about making better judgments and good judgments, not being judgmental. And that will prevent so much regret if we just simply would govern ourselves. We do that, we'll live a better life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads for just a moment here? I share this today. It's simply a teaching that I think is important. I think it's important for young people to understand some of this stuff there. I think it's good for parents to understand there is scientific evidence that, you know, when we see our teenagers gravitating to certain people, there's a connection there. And I do believe the scripture does warn us about being in situations, associations, environments that are simply going to drag us down spiritually. No one ever chooses to fall away from God, but over time, in the wrong environments, it does happen. So I just want to encourage us to be people that really seek good judgment, discerning our relationships so we know we're in the best environment. That promotes grace and love, and that promotes spirituality, and that connects us to God. That's what church is about. Church is diversity like crazy in all of our backgrounds, our environments we work in and stuff. But what church is supposed to be is an environment which is helps to create a preferred future in people's lives. That's what children's church is, you know, it's trying to give them the tools to make good judgments. That's what teen ministries are, to give them the tools to make good judgments, but not to be judgmental. Anybody's welcome in our church, in any church. But to me is we want to help folks learn how to discern properly. The Bible says this, that we need to study God's word. We need to rightly divide the word of God so that we may know what is right and wrong. And that's what churches provide. Actually, churches provide the guardrails so people know how to stay away from the dangerous areas. I hope this has been helpful. Father, we're thankful for our good people here today. And God, as we get ready for Thanksgiving, I pray, Lord, that we will all have a wonderful time. We know this has been a difficult year. We know there's just talks about restrictions for Thanksgiving, Lord. And but God, may we connect with our families. May we have a wonderful time and being thankful. We have so much to be thankful for in this country and our families. And God, we do pray for all those that have been affected that are going to the holiday season, maybe with the loss of a loved one because of COVID-19. We know that it's going to be a different time for them and even through Christmas. And may we always be sensitive to that. But God, we are thankful. Thankful for you. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for our friends here, our connection we have with one another. We're thankful that we can be here to continue on this ministry, Lord, even in these difficult days. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.